But as it turned out, there was still a role for the accumulated wisdom of archaeology as the best intellectual reconstruction available of the true past. There was just too much to see, and the Wormcam horizon expanded all the time. For the time being, the role of the Wormcam was to supplement conventional archaeological techniques, to provide key pieces of evidence to resolve disputes, to reinforce or overthrow hypotheses as a more correct consensual narrative of the past slowly emerged. And in this case, for Marcus, the truth that would be revealed here, now, by the blue, white, black images relayed through time and space to his soft screen would provide answers to the most compelling questions in his own professional career. This man, this hunter, had been dug out of the ice 53 centuries after he died. The smears of blood, tissue, starch, hair, and fragments of feather on his tools and clothing had enabled the scientists, Marcus included, to reconstruct much of his life. Modern researchers had even, whimsically, given him a name, Utsi, the Iceman. His two arrows were of particular interest to Marcus. In fact, they had served as the basis of Marcus's doctorate. Both the arrows were broken, and Marcus had been able to demonstrate that before he died, the hunter had been trying to dismantle the arrows, intent on making one good arrow out of the two broken ones by fitting the better arrowhead into the good shaft. It was such painstaking detective work as this that had drawn Marcus into archaeology. Marcus saw no limit to the reach of such techniques. Perhaps in some sense, every event left some mark on the universe, a mark that could one day be decoded by sufficiently ingenious instruments. In a sense, the Wormcam was the crystallization of the unspoken intuition of every archaeologist, that the past is a country, real, out there somewhere, which can be explored, fingertip by fingertip. But a new book of truth was opening, for the cam could answer questions left untouched by traditional archaeology, no matter how powerful the techniques. Even about this man, Utsi, who had become the best-known human of all those who had lived throughout prehistory. What had never been answered, what was impossible to answer from the fragments recovered, was why the Iceman had died. Perhaps he was fleeing warfare or pursuing a love affair. Perhaps he was a criminal, fleeing the rough justice of his time. Marcus had intuited that all these explanations were parochial, projections of a modern world on a more austere past. But he longed, along with the rest of the world, to know the truth. But now the world had forgotten Utsi, with his skin clothes and tools of flint and copper, the mystery of his lonely death. Now, in a world where any figure from the past could be made to come to vibrant life, Utsi was no longer a novelty, not even particularly interesting. Nobody cared to learn how, after all, he had died. Nobody save Marcus. So Marcus had sat in the chill gloom of this university facility, struggling through that alpine pass at Otzi's shoulder, until the truth had become apparent. Utsi was a high-status alpine hunter. His copper axe head and bearskin hat were marks of hunting prowess and prestige. And his goal on this fatal expedition had been the most elusive quarry of all, the only alpine animal which retires to high rocky areas at night, the ibex. But Utsi was old. At 46, he had already reached an advanced age for a man of his period. He was plagued by arthritis and afflicted today by an intestinal infection which had given him chronic diarrhea. Perhaps he had grown weaker, slower than he knew, or cared to admit. He had followed his quarry ever deeper into the cold heights of the mountains. He had made his simple camp in this pass, intending to repair the arrowheads he had broken, continue his pursuit the next day. He had taken a final meal of salted goat flesh and dried plums. But the night had turned crystal clear, and the wind had howled through the pass, drawing Otzi's life heat with it. It was a sad, lonely death, and Marcus, watching, thought there was a moment when Utsi tried to rise, as if aware of his terrible mistake, as if he knew he was dying. But he could not rise, and Marcus could not reach through the Wormcam to help him. And so Utsi would lie alone, entombed in his ice, for 5,000 years. Marcus shut down the Wormcam, and once more Utsi was at peace.
This is the end of this cassette. This program is continued on side one of cassette number 5.